بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Especially brothers and elders, inshallah, we don't have much time, within half an hour, 40 minutes, inshallah, we'll try to end with our Jummah khutbah and the salah, etc., inshallah. As you know that this month which we are passing through at the moment is a month known as Sha'ban, and I thought it would be appropriate to speak regarding this particular month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you know, is the creator of all the months. He's the creator of everything, creator of the universe, the world, everything. He's the creator of time and space. He created the month of Ramadan, similarly he's created the month of Rajab, of Sha'ban, January, February. And in principle, each and every month, or each and every day, each and every hour, all the time which Allah has created for us has a great significance, importance and relevance for the Muslim. And if the Muslim, if the believer, if he utilizes his time in a correct and proper manner, then that time will be of significance to him. You see, the value of time is very important, and I did speak about the value of time once before. But this is something which we all need to, first of all, you know, really take into consideration, that we should value time and utilize it in a proper, correct manner, and do not waste time. As one of the poets in Arabic, he says, حياتك أنفاس تعد فكلما مضى منها نفس انتقصت به جزءا. That this life of yours, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, is a combination of a few breaths. You take a breath, one breath, مَضَى مِنْهَا نَفَسٌ انْتَقَصَتْ بِهِ جُزْءًا. One breath you take, then a portion of your life has passed and has gone away. So this is the time and the life which Allah has given to us. It's very short, very limited. We need to utilize it in a proper, correct manner. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an attached special sanctity, significance, importance and relevance to some particular days and months in the calendar. We all are aware of the month of Ramadan, that there is great importance to this particular month. In a sense, this sanctity which Allah has attached is in a sense that specific rules and regulations and injunctions and ahkam and laws are connected to it, or the reward of the ibadah, the reward for worship, the reward for turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in that particular day, date or month of the year. We all know about Ramadan, as I mentioned. Similarly, this month which we are passing through right now, known as the month of Sha'ban, which is an introduction, you could say, to the month of Ramadan, which comes just before the month of Ramadan, the month of Sha'ban. If we look in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the various narrations and ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find out, and it will come to our knowledge, and we will gather that there is special sanctity and significance attached to this particular month itself. There are many ahadith and narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this particular month. In Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu and Imam Muslim, both of them narrate in their respective sahih collections from the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she talks about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر حتى كنا نظن أنه لن يصوم. And we used to observe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to not keep a fast, so much so that we used to think and regard that he will never fast in his life once again, because you see, continuous fasting, sawmud dahr, is not permissible and acceptable in Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast certain days, then he never used to fast, you see. So she says that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يفطر حتى كنا نظن أنه لن يصوم, that he used to not keep a fast, so much so that we used to think and regard that he will never keep a fast. And then she says, وكان يصوم حتى كنا نظن أنه لن يفطر, that then he used to commence and start keeping a fast and fasting, so much so that we used to think and regard that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم will never stop fasting. And then she says that وَمَا اسْتَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا شَهْرَ رَمَضَانٍ, that he never, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never completed the fast of a particular month, complete, whole 30 days or 29 days, except the month of Ramadan. And then she says, وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ يَصُومُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا الشَّهْرِ أَيْ فِي شَعْبَانٍ, that I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast as much as he used to fast in this month of Sha'ban. The month which he used to complete was Ramadan, and the number two, the most fast he used to keep, the sawm which he used to keep was in this particular month, this month known as Sha'ban, which comes before Ramadan. So this hadith shows the importance of this particular month right from the beginning to the end. The whole month is sanctified, and the whole month of Sha'ban has significance and importance. There's another hadith also mentioned by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, that she says that مَا رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَصُومُ فِي شَهْرٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا الشَّهْرِ أَيْ شَعْبَانٍ, that I never saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم fast more than this particular month. And then she says, كَانَ يَصُومُهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, he used to keep almost all the days he used to fast, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, few days, 3-4 days he never used to fast, but other than that he used to fast the whole month of Sha'ban. And then she says in the hadith, بَلْ كَانَ يَصُومَهُ كُلَّهُ, rather I should say that he used to fast the whole month, because he used to only miss one or two days. So this hadith and narration and tradition of the Messenger of Aisha radiallahu anha, narrating and describing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also shows the importance of this particular month, and specifically fasting in this particular month. There's another hadith also mentioned by Imam al-Tirmidhi from another wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salama radiallahu anha. She says that مَا رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَصُومُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ إِلَّا شَعْبَانَ وَرَمَضَانَ, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combining the fasts of 2 months, continuously fasting for 2 continuous months, except for Sha'ban and Ramadan, because Sha'ban comes before Ramadan, except for these 2 months. This also hadith shows the importance and significance of this particular month. And also there's another hadith mentioned in Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah ta'ala wa radi anhu. He mentions in his Sunan that one of the companions, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he once asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him that, O Messenger of Allah, that how comes I see you that you fast in this particular month very frequently? You fast so much that I don't see you fasting similar in any other month. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, he said that this is a month which comes between Rajab and Ramadan. As you know, the month before Sha'ban is Rajab. This is a month which comes between Rajab and Ramadan, and this month many people are neglectful of, and in this month the deeds of the human beings and the deeds of Muslims in particular are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I desire, who's saying this, the Messenger of Allah, that I desire and I wish that my deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state that I am in, a state of fasting. This is who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that I want my deeds to be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am in a state of fasting and I am fasting. There are many other narrations. These are just 3-4 as an example which I have quoted, which show the importance, significance, relevance of the whole month of Sha'ban, the whole month from the beginning to the end, and it shows the importance of fasting in this particular month. This is the reason why we should, adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, try our utmost best to fast in this particular month. And the scholars mention also that there is great reward. The rewards of fasting in this month is increased, and we should fast and fast throughout the whole month. And also there's another hadith mentioned where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا كَانَ نِصْفٌ مِنْ شَعْبَانْ فَلَا تَصُومُوا, that don't fast after 15 days of Sha'ban. The reason behind this is that the intention and objective behind this is that if a person fears that if he keeps on fasting in this particular month, he will become weak for Ramadan and he will not able to perform his religious duties and responsibilities. and his religious obligations, which is the fasting and the Qiyamul Layl and praying Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl at night, then he should not fast because it will weaken him. But if a person does not fear that and he thinks he will able to fulfill his religious duties and obligations despite keeping the fast in the month of Ramadan, there is nothing wrong in doing so, but a person should not fast in the last 2-3 days of this particular month. There's a clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he says, لا يتقدمن أحدكم رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين, that none of you should proceed Ramadan with fasting of 1 day or 2 days, meaning don't fast on the 28th and 29th of Sha'ban, 2-3 days before Ramadan. Why? In order to get your strength back for Ramadan. And he says, إلا أن يكون رجل قد كان يصوم صومه فليصوم ذلك اليوم. Except that if a person was continuously, he's making qada or he has a habit, he's been fasting, then he can fast on that particular last 2-3 days. So anyway, these ahadith and narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam show the importance of this particular month. Now we have, in this month we have, as many of us know, Laylatul Nisf min Sha'ban, and which means the night of the 15th of Sha'ban and the day of the 15th of Sha'ban. I want to talk about this also. This night, as many people know, is known as Laylatul Bara'a. Bara'a, there's a whole surah in the Quran which doesn't talk about that, but the Bara'a, which means that freedom from the fire of hell. So this particular night is known as, amongst the Muslim ulama and scholars, as Laylatul Bara'a, the night of freedom from the fire of hell. Now, regarding this also, there are many ahadith and narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing its importance and significance. And I will mention at the end the level or the degree of the narrations, but there are many narrations, so much so that the scholars and ulama and the muhaddithun, the scholars of hadith, have gathered these narrations, and they mention that approximately 10 sahaba radiallahu anhum narrate the importance and significance of the Laylatul Bara'a, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. There are many hadith. There's a hadith, for example, mentioned by Imam al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan, where he says that once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he said that, Ya Aisha, atani Jibreel faqal, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to me and he said that hadihi laylatun nisf min Sha'ban, this is the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, and yu'tiqu Allahu ta'ala fiha min al-nari biqadri sha'ri ghanami bani kalb. Now in this particular night of the 15th of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees from the fire of hell the amount of the that much amount which is to the amount of the hair which is on the sheep of the tribe of Banu Kalb. What the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to mention here is that there was a tribe known as Banu Kalb, and they had many goats and sheep, many sheep. The most sheep were owned by this particular tribe. So in order to give analogy or to give an example, remember this is not, as we have in Arabic, we have this thing called tahdeed and takseer. As for example, Allah says in the Quran, إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. Even if you seek forgiveness 70 times, then I will not forgive. That doesn't mean if you seek forgiveness for 71 or 69, the case will be different. No. I mean, even our day-to-day language, we say, I've told you a million times. It doesn't mean that you exactly said it a million times. You see, it's just for takseer, to show that the abundance. So similarly, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُعْتِقُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا مِنَ النَّارِ بِقَدْرِ شَعْرِ غَنَمِ بَنِي كَلْبِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees on this particular night from the fire of hell those people who are destined to go into the fire of hell to the amount of the hair which are on the sheep of the tribe of Banu Kalb. Meaning in abundance. Many, many thousands and millions of people, you can imagine, if there's thousands of goats, 2,000, 3,000 sheep, you can imagine how much hair each particular sheep has. So that much amount, meaning thousands and thousands of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees them on this night from the fire of hell. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ مُشْرِكٍ. In this particular night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even look at, let alone forgiving, He does not even look at a mushrik, a person who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who is committed, involved in shirk, associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims. But remember, shirks are different categories and different stages and different degrees. The main shirk is when you believe in another god, on another deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have a lesser type of shirk as well. As in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salla yura'i faqad ashrak." The person who performs salah in order to show people, if I'm praying salah and offering my salah, and the intention is that people will see me, this is a lesser type and a lesser degree of shirk. So this is also included in shirk. If you should have tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Zat and His Sifat, which means His being and His qualities. There is no Raziq, no Khaliq, nobody, la mu'tiya wa la khaliqa wa la raziqa illallah. That every, the person who gives, the person who gives sustenance, the person who creates, the person who gives children, we should have full trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows the importance of tawheed and not being affected with some sort of shirk. So this is the first person. The Messenger of Allah says, وَلَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ مُشْرِكٍ. He doesn't look, even look at a mushrik. وَلَا إِلَىٰ مُشَاحٍ. The second person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who has malice in his heart, even that person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at him on this particular night. Let alone forgive him on the night where thousands of people are freed, Laylatul Bara'ah, thousands of people are freed from the fire of hell. This person who has malice, hatred, jealousy, hasad in his heart, Allah will not even look at him. There's a hadith, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدِ. Make sure you stay away from jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَرِ. Because jealousy eats away your good deeds as the fire eats away wood. You see, so jealousy and hatred and enmity from the heart. And this shows that the third person, even the third is connected to this. Also Allah does not look at a person, وَلَا إِلَىٰ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ. The person who breaks off ties with his fellow Muslims, relations, he doesn't speak with people. You see, many people we have who break off friendship. We have relations within our brother, doesn't speak to a brother within relations. People have hatred and jealousy amongst themselves, between themselves, and there's no speaking and no communication between the two people. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the person man hajara akhahu fawqa thalathin famata dakhala an-nar, the person who does not speak to his fellow Muslim brother more than 3 days and then he dies in that state, then he will go directly straight into the fire of hell. So this also, the second and third, both show the importance of huququl ibad. And when we look at, really look at Islam in general, we see there's so much importance attached to huququl ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah before huququllah. Because it's between you and Allah, you can seek forgiveness, you can repent, make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. But if you've eaten somebody else's wealth, you've taken somebody else's wealth, you've backbited, you have jealousy, hatred, you've harmed somebody, then until that person doesn't forgive you, Allah will not forgive you. So this is a lot of importance of huququl ibad more than huququllah. So in this particular night, rather than going and performing long qiyamul layl and going and performing a lot of zikr and tilawatul Quran, if you owe somebody money, go and pay that loan back if he wants it and if the time is due. If you've hurt somebody, go and seek forgiveness. If you've backbited somebody, go and seek that person forgiveness. If you don't, if you have jealousy and hatred with somebody, and jealousy and hatred is, it's one of the kaba'ir, the great major sins. As you know, jealousy, there's two things. One is jealousy, which is known as hasad, and another thing is known as ghibta, which is not exactly jealousy, which means, jealousy means that you see a fellow Muslim or a fellow human being and you see a gift, a ni'mah given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you desire that and you want that ni'mah to go away from him. Somebody has a very good house, you have this desire that Allah takes his house away and I receive it. This is totally, completely, fully, decisively haram and unlawful. Another thing is ghibta, which means that you don't desire for that ni'mah and gift to go away from him, but you would like it. For example, somebody's got a nice car, and you think that I wish I also have the same car, but I don't mind if he keeps it. This is known as ghibta. This is also disapproved. It's not totally haram, but it's still disapproved. And in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا حسد إلا في إثنتين, that there is no hasad, means ghibta here, meaning that you shouldn't even do this except in two things. One is رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَسَلَّتَهُ عَلَىٰ هَلَكَتِهِ, that person whom Allah has given wealth, money, and He's given him tawfiq to spend it in the path of Allah. You look at somebody that is really rich and he's spending money, giving donation to the masjid, to the poor people, Muslims in different parts of the world, then you have this ghibta. I wish Allah gave me that money so I could also, you know, give it in the path of Allah. And that is not just it's not just permissible, it is good and recommended. Similarly, the second thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةَ فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا وَيُعَلِّمَهَا, that person whom Allah has given knowledge and wisdom, and with that wisdom he uses it, utilizes it, and he teaches other people. You see, a person with knowledge, a great scholar, knowledge, person with wisdom, you also desire and aspire to have that same type of knowledge, then this is recommended. Only two things, ghibta is permissible. Anyway, that's beside the point. So, in this particular hadith, the first person, the Messenger of Allah says, Allah does not look at who? Mushrik, the person who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the person, wala ila mushahin, who has malice, jealousy and hatred in his heart. Number three, wala ila qati'i rahim, and that person who breaks off relationship and ties. Number four, he says, wala ila musbil, the person whose garment is below his ankles. Here also, the ulama have debated that this, of course, the sunnah is that your garment should be above your ankles, but the ulama have two different opinions, and I don't want to go into that. There's a hadith like, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma asfala min al-ka'bayni min al-izari fa huwa fi an-nar, whatever's below the ankles, then it is in the fire of hell. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la yanzuru Allahu ila rajulin jarra izaruhu bataran. In another riwayah, khuyala. That person who his garment is below his ankles and he drags his garment, trousers or garment below his ankles out of pride, then Allah will not look at him on the day of Qiyamah. So some ulama say that if it's done out of pride, then it's wrong and lawful. And if it's not out of pride, then it's permissible. Others say no, whether it's out of pride or not out of pride, it's unlawful altogether. But regardless of this, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi in his Shama'il, there was a companion and he asked the Prophet, he was walking and his garment was below the ankle. The Prophet ﷺ said to him that, irfa izarak fa'innahu atqa, that raise your garment because it is a source of piety for you. This person was walking, he looked back and he said, Sayyidah huwa Rasulullah, that he was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to the Messenger of Allah that, ya Rasulullah, that this garment which I have, it's not out of pride, because it's really degraded, it's innaha burdatul maliha, it's something which is really lowly, it was very dirty or something. He said, I can't have pride in this particular garment of clothing which I'm wearing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, he said, amalaka fiyya uswa, don't you have an example in me? So this shows that whether it's out of pride or not, you should try to abstain. But this is one of wala ila musbil, even on a person who puts his garment below, and not just for the time of prayer, all the time, Allah will not look at this person on this particular night. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wala ila mudmini khamr, the fifth, that person who is an alcohol addict, the person who consumes alcohol and who drinks alcohol continuously, on this particular night, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the amount of the hair of the tribe of the sheep of the tribe of Banu Kalb, Allah does not even look at this person, these five people. This is a hadith mentioned by Imam al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan. There's also other hadith. Imam al-Tirmidhi, for example, mentions that on this particular night, Allah descends on the heavens, meaning His rahmah descends, or we don't know the actual meaning of this exactly, that how He descends, etc. But we believe in it. And he says that, is there anybody there to seek forgiveness? I will forgive him. Anybody there to ask for his needs? I will forgive him on that day. So this is also another hadith. Also, Imam al-Bayhaqi mentions in another hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that qama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laylatan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once she was sleeping, he stood up and he started performing salah. Fasalla fasajada faatala sujood. He started performing salah, he went into prostration in sajda and he lengthened his prostration. Hatta ظننت أنه قد قبض. That I thought that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. The sajda was so long, 3-4 hours. So then Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, فقمتو. I stood up from my bed. فَحَرَّكْتُ إِصْبَعَهُ, I moved his thumb, his finger. فَتَحَرَّكْ, he moved his hand, his finger. So then I felt content that no, he hasn't passed away. And then afterwards, she says, فَلَمَّا رَجَعْتُ, when I returned back to my bed, I could hear him in his sajda saying that, O Allah, اللهم إني أعوذ بعفوك من عقوبتك. O Allah, I seek the refuge of your forgiveness from your punishment. Then she heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, وَأَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ, that I seek the refuge of your pleasure from your displeasure. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ, I seek your refuge from you. And then after, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made salam, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, that, O Aisha radiallahu anha, أَظَنَنْتِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ قَدْ خَاضَ بِكِ, did you think that your Prophet and your husband betrayed you and left you and went away? She said, لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, no, O Messenger of Allah, وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, did you think your Prophet has betrayed you? She said, no, ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ خُبِذْ, that I thought, Aisha says, that I thought, no, I didn't think you betrayed me, but I thought that you have passed away. And then he said to her, أَتَعْلَمِينَ أَيُّ لَيْلَةٍ هَذِهِ Do you know which night this is? She said, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا لَيْلَةٌ نِصْفٌ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ It's the 15th of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. يَطَّلِعُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His special rahmah and mercy descends on the servant. And He forgives and He says, أَلَا هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ Is there anybody there to seek forgiveness that I forgive these things? أَلَا هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأُجِيبَ لَا Is there anybody to seek and supplicate to me and make dua so I can forgive him and answer his prayer? There are many hadith like that regarding the special sanctity of this particular night, which is probably today for many people or tomorrow, but the 15th of Sha'ban. Now, some people say that these narrations are weak. As I mentioned, there are 10 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention the importance of this particular night, not just the month. The month is established in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, etc. But this particular night also 10 companions, and there may be there is slightly of weakness in some of the narrations, minor weakness in the not the hadith itself, the narration, the transmission, the chain of transmission. When we say a hadith weak, we should not say that. Scholars say we shouldn't say this hadith is weak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his statement is not weak. We should say the chain of transmission of this hadith is weak. Anyway, so there is a bit of minor weakness in the majority of the hadith, but a principle of the ulama of hadith of muhaddithun throughout the ages and eras, through thousands and thousands of years, including Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Bukhari, and all of them, they all mention. I'm going to conclude now, inshallah. They all mention that when we have many hadith, each one of them, if you have 10 people are all weak here, if the strength of 10 weak people will be strong. These 10 people can of course combat and fight one strong person. So when you have 10 weak hadith narrating the same thing, then يَرْتَقِي دَرَجَتَهُ Then the strength goes to authenticity and it becomes authentic. And also in the chapter and in the category of fada'il, in virtues, weak hadith are used. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad ibn Ali al-Madini, and many other scholars of hadith, they state, إِذَا جَاءَنَا فِي الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ تَشَدَّدْنَا If something comes with regards to halal and haram, that is this permissible, is this haram, is this lawful and lawful, then we'll be very strong. We don't take except sahih or hasan. وَإِذَا جَاءَنَا فِي الْفَضَائِلِ تَسَاهَلْنَا When it comes regarding virtues, then we be lenient, and because it's just virtues. You see, you're not saying that this particular night is fard to stay in Qiyamul Layl, etc. And neither do we say it's 100% Sunnah. There is a possibility, and there are many 10 ahadith there, even though they're weak, and there is a possibility, so a person should make use of it. So anyway, this is just the nature of the hadith and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we're supposed to do, the practical side, is we should try our utmost best to utilize this particular night. Do tilawat and perform tilawat of the Qur'an, recite as much as Qur'an we can do, recitation of the Qur'an, pray as much as nawafil, and also tilawat of Qur'an, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send blessings on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things not to do, refrain, abstain and stay away from sins. Staying away from sins normally, generally, throughout the year, every day, but especially in this particular night, we should try utmost best to refrain and stay away from sin. And also, there is no specific ibadah. There is no specific worship that this is the worship. No, that's wrong. There is nothing mentioned in the sunnah that there is specific ibadah. What's mentioned that the virtue, you should try at most best to do ibadah in solitude by yourself. The best ibadah is done in the midst of your house when it's only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than have long gatherings in the masjid. That's not really approved. What's approved is that you do your own ibadah, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek forgiveness for your own sins, turn to Him, ask Him for your needs, etc. So this is regarding the night. Also regarding the day, because it's important, just 2 minutes inshallah, I just mentioned it. A lot of people ask this question about fasting on the 15th of Sha'ban. Is it permissible to fast, or is it bid'ah, or what's the ruling of fasting on the day, on the 15th of Sha'ban? Regarding this, in reality there's only one hadith, which is quite weak, which mentions that the Prophet and recorded by Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunan, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that إِذَا كَانَ لَيْلَةٌ نِصْفٌ مِنْ شَعْبَانَ فَقُومُوا لَيْلَهَا وَصُومُوا نَهَارَهَا That when it's the 15th of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, stay awake during the night in performing salah, offering prayer, voluntary prayer, and fast during the day. There's one narration only which is quite weak, Therefore, to make it as completely sunnah to fast on that particular month is not correct. There is no strong hadith which says that you have to or you should fast. It's not proper sunnah. But what the ulama mentioned, that normally fasting on the 13th, 14th and 15th of every month is sunnah, which is known as Ayyamul Bidh. The 13th of every month, the 14th of every month and the 15th of every month is recommended to fast in every month. And reason number two is that, as I mentioned in the beginning of the talk, that the whole month of Sha'ban has, from the beginning to the end, which also includes the 15th, 15 is not exempted from the whole month. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast the whole month abundantly, and the whole month has virtue. So if somebody fasts on the 15th of Sha'ban, keeping these two things in mind, that it's the 13th, 14th, 15th, and also it's Sha'ban itself, and because there is a weak hadith, you know, but give importance to these two reasons, then inshallah if you fast, then it's not bid'ah or innovation or something wrong. But you don't give it that much strength that no, there's special fasting on this particular month and it's properly approved and established in the sunnah, that's not correct. So I end with this, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the ability to practice and what I've said, and also you, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar,
الحمد لله أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره على نعمه الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إرغاما إقرارا لربوبيته وإرغاما لمن جحد به وكفر وأشهد أن سيدنا وإمامنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين وأوصيكم أيها المسلمون ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله تعالى أما بعد فيا عباد الله وتعلمون أننا نمر في شهر شعبان وهذا الشهر له فضل كبير وعظمة ومرتبة وقد ورد في فضله وردت في فضله حديث كثيرة فقد روى الإمام البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما
رضي الله تعالى عنهما في صحيحيهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه أن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر حتى كنا نظن أنه لن يصوم وكان يصوم حتى كنا نظن أنه لن يفطر وما استكمل صيام شهر قط إلا شهر رمضان وما رأيته في شهر أكثر صياما منه في شعبان وقد روى الإمام الترمذي في سننه عن أم المؤمنين أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها قالت ما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم شهرين متتابعين إلا في شعبان ورمضان وقد وردت أحاديث كثيرة أيضا في فضل ليلة النصف من شعبان بالذات فقد أخرج الإمام البيهقي في سننه أن سيدتنا عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتاني جبرائيل فقال إن هذه ليلة النصف من شعبان يعتق الله تعالى فيها من النار بقدر شعر غنم بني كلب ولا ينظر الله فيها أي في هذه الليل لا ينظر الله فيها إلى مشرك ولا إلى مشاهن ولا إلى قاتل رحم ولا إلى مسبل ولا إلى مدمن خمر وقد وردت أحاديث كثيرة أيضا في فضل هذه ليلة النصف من شعبان وترتقي درجة هذه الأحاديث إلى الحسن فيقول العلماء والمحدثون إذا جاءنا في الحلال والحرام تشددنا وإذا جاءنا في الفضائل تساهلنا أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله فيما أمر وانتهوا عما نهى عنه وزجر وأخرجوا حب الدنيا من قلوبكم فإنه إذا استولى أثر واعلموا أن الله تعالى قد أمركم بشيء بدأ فيه بنفسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اغفر المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا هي لك رضا فيها ولنا فيها صلاة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكفرة والمشركين اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحور أعداء الدين اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك اللهم من شرورهم اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فخذه اللهم بيده إلى كل خير ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا فخذه اللهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشائخنا ولأرباب الحقوق علينا ولإخواننا الحاضرين والحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قام الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا استقيموا واعتدلوا كفل النقابس إن شاء الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله